The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gary Capewell, John Babb and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Beverly, Sedgefield and Wincanton in the afternoon, Fosslass and Southwell in the evening domestically, and there's Irish racing as well from Killarney on Tuesday evening. So six meetings to look forward to, plenty to go at. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. As always, on this edition of the podcast, we're going to look at the Monday jury, the six questions posed in the Racing Post, and then we'll move on to Tuesday's racing following that. So let's get straight stuck into it, Mick. The first question, what do you think of Chester Vars winner Orchestra's chances in the Derby?
I don't think the Chester Vars has told us much other than that he's a nice Galileo colt who's got a future. I don't think he'll be fazed by Epsom. He handled the ground well. He looked a bit on the burly side, as if the race will bring him on a bundle. And I liked his attitude as well. He and Romsdal had a fair old scrap, so he won't worry if he gets involved in a battle, will he? Be very interesting to see what Ryan Moore's on in the Derby.
Yeah.
Until I know that, I would sit on the fence as to Orchestra's chances. If Ryan's on him, I'd say he's got a great each-way chance.
Yeah, it's currently 20-1 as well, so yeah. Not a bad each-way price
exactly,
either. Yeah. And we saw last year in the race, Ruler of the World doing a similar thing. Only horse to run over a mile and a half before the Derby.
Absolutely. And that's always off. A big, big plus. And, you know, his stamina won him the day in the end, because he blew up. He patently blew up. So the race can only bring him on. And Ryan didn't... He gave him a race, but he didn't give him a... hard race,
no.
Enough to knock him back, if you know what I mean. I think it'll have learnt plenty as well from
okay.
that. No, I wouldn't put anybody off backing him each way for the Derby.
Okay, decent each way chance then for
Orchestra. And he won't be 20-1 if Ryan Moore rides him either, will
no,
he?
No, that's a fair point. Yeah, might be worth backing him now if you fancy him.
Exactly.
Well, I suppose then again you need to wait and see if Ryan Moore's
exactly.
on. It's one of those.
It's a quandary.
Yes. We'll move on to the second question then. What did you think about Lingfield trial winner Snow Sky's prospects?
Well, he wasn't convincing last time he tried Group 1 company, was he? Better last month at Newbury, and I just think he's going to fall short of Group 1 3-year-old level, don't you? He might come into his own more as a 4-year-old.
Yeah,
that's what he strikes me as, one of those late burners that Sir Michael Stout does so well with.
Okay, he's currently 20-1 as well. So of the two, I suppose Orchestra at the prices would be the stronger of the two.
Yeah, exactly. I would think so. Oh, that Newbury race is working out quite well, isn't it? That Western Hymn Newbury race, and he will improve again, but I think the classics form is going to be the key to this, the guineas.
Okay. On to the third question then. Could any of the Darren Stown principals or Cara Conti make a splash at Epsom?
I did like the performance of Cara Conti. He looked a different league to the rest of the 3-year-olds in that lineup, didn't he? I think he'll go to France, stay in France for the Prix de Jockey Club, won't he? That seems the logical race for him. As for the Derrinstown, it was a messy race, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I mean, fascinating. Rock certainly worth his place in the lineup, and he will have to improve again, though. I mean, it took him all day to get going, didn't it? And he won't be able to afford that luxury at Epsom. I'll be surprised if the Derrinstown is the good Derby trial that it normally is.
Okay. Is Brown Panther a plausible winner of the Gold Cup or Melbourne Cup?
I just don't think he's got the natural stamina, has he? I mean, he's... He wouldn't be out of place in the lineup, that's for sure. I don't know. He could well be. I would think a Melbourne Cup... I just think the 2.5 of the Ascot Gold Cup would find him out, and his handicap might find him out in the Melbourne Cup. He's between a rock and a hard place, isn't
he? He is, yeah. It's
he's a good horse,
yeah.
And you'd be proud to own him, but not easy to plan a campaign for him, is it?
No. You'll, like you say, it's tricky because the trip would be a problem at Ascot, and well, a possible problem. And then the handicap, there's probably going to be better handicapped horses in the Melbourne Cup because well, he's so...
Same, it was eighth last year.
Yeah.
Probably finish eighth again, won't he? You know.
Okay. Can you see past True Story in the Dante Stakes at York on Thursday?
He won't come, will he?
Well, that's the thing. If it carries on raining, he won't.
There's a lot of rain there, and it's riding soft. It's taken the rain well. I mean, it may well dry out, but even if it does, it's going to be on the dead side. We know what York's like when it's drying out. It's worse than when it's wet. So I doubt if he'll turn up.
Okay. On form, he's got a very strong chance, hasn't he? It's just whether he turns up in the race.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the most impressive field and stakes winners we've seen for a long time, isn't he? It was quite breathtaking the way he quickened away from his field. I'd love to see him turn up for the Dante. It would be fabulous if he did. And we know the Dante's always a good trial. Supplied last year's runner-up, didn't it?
Yeah.
And it'd be great to see him there if we have a dry week, wouldn't it?
It would, yes. Hopefully it'll dry out a little bit and we might see him there, but it's looking slightly unlikely at the moment. And finally, the final question of this week's Monday Jury, give us a horse to follow who you've noticed or been involved with recently.
Well, I was working yesterday and we did the Leopardstown card, and in that handicap that was won by the Arthur Moore horse, there was a horse in there very, very unlucky, got no sort of luck in running. Richard Hughes rode it. It was called Melvin the Great. Finished 5th of 15 in that very hot handicap. And it was the race that Harley's Harley won, the 7 furlong. He finished 5th, beating about 4 lengths, just over 4 lengths, Melvin the Great. He got absolutely mullered turning in. He's got his hind legs whipped from under him, nearly. How he stood on his feet, I don't know. So he's knocked back to last, and now we're inside the 3. So usually, instead of coming wide, he tries to go through the inside, got stopped about 4 times, and still was making ground to the line. Whether he'd have beaten the impressive winner, I'm not sure, but he certainly would have been second with a clear run. And I think he's one to put in your tracker. Melvin the Great, trained by Johnny Murtagh, he should be winning before too long.
Okay, Melvin the Great then. Mixed one to follow. That's the Monday Jury for another week. And we'll move on to Tuesday's racing next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, then on to Tuesday's racing. Mix picked out 3 races at Beverley for us, the 3 o'clock, the 3:30 and the 4 o'clock. So starting in the 3 o'clock, it's Division 1 of this Class 5 sprint handicap. It's over 5 furlongs and 10 of them in the lineup here. Mick, which ones have made the shortlist?
Yeah, I'm looking at towards the top of the handicap mark, Dark Opal, Storm Lightning and Amenable. We'll start in race card order. Dark Opal as top weight for John Williams. Joey Haynes taking off the 5, and not that well handicapped. He's still £3 higher than his last win. He rounded off last season by winning a soft ground handicap at Ayr last autumn. Hasn't quite run into form yet so far this season, but I would definitely forgive him that run last time. It was his 5% debut, and not every horse takes to the 5%, do they? And so we're going to forgive him that. And I think the interesting factor is that he did run well here on his only previous visit. So he's just got that little slight concern that he's £3 higher than his last win, but he has got a good draw. And as I say, forget the last run. Judge him on his reappearance. He should come on for that. He won't be far away. Number 2, Storm Lightning gets the vote, though. Graham Gibbons in the saddle for Mark Brisbane. And he's only 1 from 12 on turf, I know, but it was off 70 on heavy ground in Navan, which is not dissimilar in as much as it's a stiff old climb to the line, to Beverley. He's got the visor on for the first time to help. He's got a good draw. He's got a good rider. And that was a really good run last time back on the turf at Brighton, a track that wouldn't really play to his strengths.
Mm.
So I think Storm Lightning's got a very solid chance from stall 4. And the other one to mention is Amenable. Oisin Murphy riding for Anne Stokel. is one of much higher in the past, and signs are that he's due a return to the winner's enclosure. Wasn't beaten far in a blanket finish on his only previous start at Beverley either, so the track will hold no terrors, and he's got a workable draw in five. I think the race will concern those three, and Storm Lightning just gets the vote.
Okay, Storm Lightning then for Mick in the 3 o'clock. Moving on to the 3:30 next, and it's Division 2 of this Class 5 Sprint Handicap, again over five furlongs. And again, similar story, Mick, 10 of them in the lineup. You could probably state a case for two or three of these. Which ones do you like here?
Yeah, we'll go again in race card order. Mark Poyle Vinny, trained by George Margeson, making his season reappearance. It's only his second start on turf, this horse, and his sixth career start. Now, he did run well on turf on his debut, and so that 143-day absence is probably not a problem for him. And you know, there could well be more to come, it being one so lightly raced, and he has got a mildly progressive profile. So for a mark of 67 from stall six, he's got to be respected. But I think the safer option might be number five, Nice One My Son, who is a course and distance winner. He's only one from 19, but that one did come here and off 58, and he can race here off 59.
Yeah.
And he ran well at Newcastle on his reappearance, off this mark of 59. He's got a good draw in five. Kevin Stock taking off five for Chris Wilson. And with his liking for the track, I know he didn't win very frequently, but the fact that his only win did come here sways me towards him. And the other one to consider is Chocomocca, a bit of a course specialist, won two of his nine starts here. The mark's okay, saved some of his better efforts for Beverley, and interestingly enough, was in really good form this time last year. Has got a wideish draw to overcome, though, in 10. But it is dangerous to leave out with his liking for the track. Mm. He'd be the least convincing of the three, but I dare leave him out because of his track stats, which often reproduces itself at Beverley. But Nice One My Son is the solid option, if you like, despite that modest strike rate.
Okay.
I am worried about Poyle Vinny, though.
Okay then. Nice One My Son then, the narrow selection in the 3:30, and on to the 4 o'clock next. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile, and several of these coming into the race in winning form. Mick Browies, Corrigio and Ted's Brother all coming in winning form.
Yes.
Do you see it between those three?
Well, I'm going to throw in the top one as well, Toto Scalacci, who won this last year, Mark,
yep,
off 91. And he's in here off 85. So he was a little bit disappointing last time. I don't know. They did say that there were excuses for him, but I looked back at the race and I couldn't see. Maybe they just didn't go hard enough. I don't know. But he's a dual course and distance winner, including this last year, and ran well on his reappearance at Musselburgh. I think we did a podcast, you and I, Mark, for that last run that day, and I thought he would, you know, with his track record, he would go well in that, but he didn't just perform for one reason or another on the day. But he's got to make the shortlist with his track stats, and he's reasonably well handicapped, £6 lower than winning the race last year. Barrowies is interesting, though, isn't it? Used to be trained by Freddie Head in France, and showed some on more than one occasion that there were races in him, and won at the second time of asking for Brian Ellison in a handicap at Ayr last month, and the second Ingleby Symphony went close here next time. I think it was that race that Toto Scalacci disappointed in. She was only beaten a length and a half or something. So the form of that Ayr race looks solid. And you also mentioned Correggio, whose wins have come at Pontefract. I wouldn't necessarily be worried about that, because Pontefract and Beverley both demand certain, you know, qualities, don't they? So that wouldn't be a worry. And he was second on his only previous visit here, and only £3 higher for that reappearance win at Ponte. I think that's fair enough, you know. I think Correggio rates a big danger to Barrowies. Barrowies is just going to get the vote with that race looking solid. But I do think the handicapper has been lenient with Correggio. And I'd be certainly tempted to have a saver on him, depending on how they bet the race. But they'd be the two to concentrate on for me.
Okay, good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary of the Mick, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your picks one more time.
Yeah, hoping that the Visored first time will work with Storm Lightning in the 3 o'clock for Graham Gibbons and Mark Brisbane. Nice one, My Son. It's shown a liking for this track in the past. He's got a good draw as well in five. And let's hope he can improve on his so far modest strike rate. And in the 4 o'clock, Barrow East looks as though he's going to be a money spinner for Brian Ellison since joining him from Freddie Head in France. And I don't think the handicap has been too hard on him, just putting him up three for that air win, with the second coming out and running with credit next time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Enjoy on Tuesday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing at Beverley. You'll hear that and the rest of the day's action on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. It'll be Gary Capewell, John Babb and Darren Owen in the studio. There's this meeting from Beverley, Sedgefield and Wincanton in the afternoon, Fosslass and Southwell in the evening, and there's Irish racing as well to look forward to on Tuesday evening from Killarney. So six meetings in total. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.